Remember that he is so far beyond the range and grasp of human knowledge, experience, reason, and visualization, that imagination cannot conceive him, and profound thinking cannot understand him. However deep the human mind may try to probe the secrets of Godhead, it cannot comprehend them. And however keen and sincere may be the desire of human heart to grasp realities of his attributes, it cannot envisage them. He has so ordained that every attempt and endeavor to understand the divine nature has failed and will always fail. And man is forced to realize that Allah and his might, glory, and power cannot be understood by him with the limited mental capacity that nature has granted him and with equally limited knowledge that he possesses. He is the Almighty Lord who originated all the creatures, energies, without having any model before him or any specimen of creations worked out by anybody. He has manifested his glory, might, and wisdom through such wonderful and awe-inspiring intricacies of nature that they definitely declare the supreme grandeur of his omnipotence and omniscience. The fact that everything in nature and every object created depends for its movement and rest, as the theory of inertia explains, on his power and might, which is not a part of the nature, but is something over and above it. Other intricate aspects of creation and its working compel us to conceive that there is some power and force behind them, driving them to act as they do. Wonders of creation in each and every phase, which bear most glorious and brilliant characteristics and features of the beauty and elegance of his artistic designs, are indications and evidences of his supreme knowledge and might, so much so that every creature in its aspects of creation, existence, interdependence upon other and decay is the supreme proof of his art of creation. Even such creatures as appear to us to be mute and unable to speak, by their very existence and activities, enunciate and declare the plan and the purpose of the grand architect of the universe, and teach one to realize the exquisite and majestic beauty of the art of creation. O Lord, I testify that whoever compares you with your creatures, keeping in view differences in their various component parts, or the symmetry and supplementing tendency of their multiple sections and segments, and thus attributing all the qualities, functions, and the limitations of your creatures to you, has not at all tried to understand and realize your greatness and glory, and has no faith in your being the one and sole Lord and Creator, having no partners or co-workers. He imagines that you could be like the idols he creates and worships, as if he has not heard those people who had once worshipped such gods and later, realizing their folly, disowned them and said, "By Allah, how foolish we were, and how sadly have we been persisting in error and sin when we believed and declared you, idol and God, equal to the Lord who has created and maintains the universe. Lord, they are misguided and liars who, considering you equal to others, compare you with their idols. They assign to you attributes and qualities of your creatures, and in their imagination, they try to divide your supreme power, might, and omniscience into various different attributes, qualities, and characteristics. They believe you to possess a body and mind like that of a creature of yours, a body which could attend to different functions, and a mind which could only act under various limitations. I testify, O Lord, that whoever thinks you to be like the creatures created by you, imagines of a being equal to you, And whoever imagines such a being refuses to accept the explicit, indisputable, and unambiguous verses of the Holy Quran, which, with the help of intelligent and rational reasoning and arguments, prove your oneness, omniscience, omnipotence, and omnipresence. Lord, you are the whom imagination and mind cannot comprehend, deliberation and meditation cannot grasp, and who cannot be brought within the bounds of conception.
He hath destined certain limitations
and circumscriptions, and allotted a certain place and confines in time and space to everything which He has created. To each one of them He assigned such a perfectly suitable position and place in the pattern of nature that no one can change it, neither can go beyond or behind it. They are all moving in one direction. The one-way movement of nature is the latest discovery of science.
And have to reach the destined place
He has decreed for them. When nature and all things in it were ordered to act according to His will, they immediately obeyed. How dare they disobey His commands when their very existence and all things around them, within them, and beyond them were the result of His will and decree? He originated and invented all the various forms of creation, from atom down to man and his marvelous mind, without feeling any need either to speculate and to study the process, or to meditate over the forms, or to contemplate over the laws governing creation, existence, and interdependence of various creatures. His art of creation was not the result of any desire or craving hidden in his heart, so to say, to do something. Neither it necessitated him to utilize the experiences provided by the passage of time or aging of creation, nor it forced him to seek the help of a co-partner to model, evolve, or invent this wonderful universe. It was only owing to his will that the creation came into being, obedient to his orders and submissive to his commands. There was no possibility of anything delaying to observe these commands, nor objecting to pursue the course set down by him. His orders brook no delay. There is no dissension, no argument, and no objection. Everywhere there was obedience, submission, compliance, and subjection. Every part and every particle, every segment and section, and every aspect and every phase of creation was accurately perfect and ideally complete. Because while bringing it into being, He removed all discrepancies and inconsistencies that could have possibly arisen. He fixed limits for properties, attributes, tendencies, activities, and even the period of existence for everything which came into being. He adjusted or removed, wherever necessary, all contradicting and opposing tendencies, conflicting and inharmonious properties, and all disparities and diversities, introducing affinities, attractions, similarities, and analogies. He made every part of this grand organization and everything in it dependent upon others, so that no one could exist without the other. Time cannot exist without space or matter. Similarly, space cannot exist without time and matter, and matter cannot exist without space and time. This triple alliance or triangle of interdependence is the latest theory of the general relativity, towards which Imam Ali has probably hinted in the above sentence. He then divided the whole creation into groups and divisions of energy, matter, compounds, galaxies, stars, star dust, planets, life-bearing bodies of planets, animals and men. Each group is distinct from the other, and each having its own peculiarities, properties, attributes, and limitations. Such was the first creation of the universe, which he brought into being with extreme elegance and beauty, and according to his wish and desire. Allah has created vast and gigantic galaxies into clusters without apparent and visible connecting links between them. In the same way, he set the intervening spaces in such an order that these galaxies can influence each other. He forced them to act in unison. The whole system of these clusters is so marvelously arranged that the angels who come down with his messages and go back with records of activities of his servants do not find any difficulty in their coming and going. When the universe was still in the form of primordial gas, he ordered it to assume shape and form, and the primordial gas coagulated, taking up the form of millions of galaxies, each one of consisting of suns, planets, stardust, and star clusters. He then organized these galaxies in such a way that there was no gap in them, and each one was a complete unit. But the matter in them was so arranged that it allowed certain forms of creation to pass through them. For instance, light, cosmic rays, radiation, etc. And at the same time, the open spaces were so well guarded by stars, meteorites, meteors, suns, planets, and stardust, that nothing could pass through these guard posts until he so willed it. He ordered these guards to be at their appointed place and not to move out of their course. They all obey his commands. He ordered the sun to provide daylight for this earth and the moon to brighten the dark nights with its pleasingly dim and diffused light. He made them revolve on their respective orbits and fixed their speeds for them, so that the day and night may be differentiated and period of a year may be fixed, and other useful calculations and reckonings, like that of seasons, winds and sea tides, movements of clouds, wind, windstorms, thunderstorms, etc., may be correctly estimated. The sun, the stars, the planets are like lanterns hanging on the firmament, or pearls strung in beautiful designs. There are meteorites acting as archers and guarding the outer space. Each and every one of them is set in its place as a planet, moon, sun, comet, or meteor moving along its orbit. Some of them appear to come near the earth and then to recede. He created the wonderful beings called angels to populate the various spaces of skies, galaxies, and to inhabit the higher and far distant reaches of his realm. He filled with them every nook and corner of the empty spaces of the galaxy. Their voices raised in his glorification filled the space and echoed through the regions of galaxies, sanctifying the universe and filling it with acclamation of his glory and grandeur of creation. Beyond these echoes, which would deafen the ears if they could only be heard, there is the area of supreme brightness. Its brilliance is so intense and profound that eyes cannot bear it, and therefore cannot see it. He has created the angels in different shapes and sizes. They are granted bodies and strength suitable to fly. They adore his might and glory and invoke his grace and favor. They know what they are, and they neither claim his attributes to themselves, nor do they allege that they can create anything which he alone can create. They are his honorable, respectable, and loyal creatures. They obey him and never say anything unless he wishes them to say it. Allah made them trustworthy messengers
of His revelations,
carrying His commands and His messages to His prophets and messengers. They are above doubts and suspicions, as they never go against His will and pleasure. He has endowed them with His guidance and grace. They are humble and submissive before Him. They spend their lives in worshipping Him and in invoking His favors and grace. They fully understand that there is no Allah but He, the Almighty. Their existence is not burdened with sins. Days and nights, that is change of time, do not affect them. Doubts about His power, justice and might have never arisen in their minds to shake their faith.
Their belief can never give way to skepticism. They do not envy each other.
The glory of Allah and greatness of His kingdom is so fully realized by them that no power or inducement can shake their faith. Temptations have no place in their minds. Thus, they have a very clear and true idea of the purpose for which they have been created. Some of them are placed over rain-bearing heavy clouds. Some are appointed on mountains and hills. And some have their duties in the realm of perpetual darkness, while there are others whose feet have passed the lowest depth of the space. They look like white flag posts whose banners have filled the entire space. A soft wind is blowing under them, helping them to keep to their places. They have no other work but to worship Allah and to fulfill the duties assigned to them by Him. Their firm belief in Allah and His might and glory is the root of their faith. And this faith has made them think of nothing else but Allah and the duties assigned by Him. They do not expect or desire anything from anybody except His grace and bounties. They have seen the greatness of His power and have fully realized the grandeur of His realm. They sincerely fear Him and are constantly worshipping. There is no indolence and lethargy in them, and they can never revolt against His orders and can never be negligent in the performance of their duties. Though their long existence is spent in seeking His favor and pleasure, yet they are neither tired nor exhausted. Though they have such a noble and high position in His realm, yet they are meek and fear Him like any other creature. They are not self-conceited, and they do not imagine their duties and worship as something to be proud of. The real conception of His might and greatness has never allowed them to think very highly of their virtues. Long life of worship and duties has not made them indolent or lazy. Neither they are tired of seeking His favors, nor they have any other work to interfere with their worship and duty. They do not seek rest or relaxation. They do not forget their obligations and duties, and they do not yield to temptations. They desire to make their faith and trust in Allah as provision for the Day of Judgment. They do not worship Him for any greed, but because the sole aim of their existence is to seek His pleasure. Their ardent desire to secure His favor and His fear keeps them vigilant, careful, and preserving, and withholds them from negligence, lethargy, temptations, avarice, conceit, arrogance, and self-aggrandizement. Worldly pleasures do not tempt and persuade them to concentrate on worldly activities and neglect their duties. Conceit never deceived them to think too much of themselves or their performance. Satan can never seduce them to doubt the justice of His orders and rewards or punishments. Jealousy did not make them to dissociate and turn away from one another. Mutual enmity and malice did not so affect them as to dissent with or oppose one another. Timidity and fright never secured a hold upon them. They are sincere in their belief, and evil can never confound them, and laziness cannot dissuade them from their duties. Nothing can make them forget Allah. There is not an inch of space in the skies where there is not an angel glorifying the Lord or carrying out some duty assigned to him. The more they worship, the greater becomes their knowledge of Allah, and firmer becomes their faith in His might and greatness. The Almighty Allah, let the outer crust of the earth, which, after having been torn off the huge solar mass through a strong tidal wave effected by the gravitational pull of a gigantic stellar body passing by it, was still in a gaseous state to cool down and solidify. When this crust became tough and thick, He spread it over the violent commotion of the surging water like molten lava, which rolled and echoed wildly to control the volcanic activity of the earth's interior. It seemed pressing down with its breast the turbulent material under its crust, and was forcing it to calm down. Its solid crust, with the help of its mountains, pressed it from all sides in such a way that it was forced to give up its energy in the form of volcanoes and to yield to the superior force of pressure. The earth thus cooled down. The tumult was controlled within its body, and it gave way in the form of volcanoes, which brought out current of water from its interior folds in the form of small streams. These streams started filling the valleys, depressions and lowlands with water, turning them into lakes, lagoons, seas and oceans. The righteous volcanic energy of the earth found another way. It cooled down in the form of high and lofty mountains, having their bases deep inside the crust of the earth. These mountains have great balancing effect and act as a check to its movements, floating of continents. Allah then furnished the earth with air to provide means of breathing and existence for the living beings who would make it their abode, and the atmosphere was very wide extending, like an envelope from the surface of the earth to a fairly good depth of space. After having thus furnished the earth, Allah brought into existence living beings to populate its surface, and provided for them all the requirements, necessities and amenities that were found necessary to keep them living and reproducing themselves on this earth. The lands which could not receive waters from rivers and lakes were not left dry. Allah arranged to water them with rain-bearing clouds. These clouds brought life to these highlands where vegetation flourished, grass grew and forests developed. Small patches of scattered clouds gathered together into water-lined thick clouds extending over large areas. They were moved about by the winds and thunder, and lightning was created in their folds. They were then ordered to go over to the lands which were meant to be watered. Borne on the wings of monsoon winds, these clouds swayed from place to place, watering and fertilizing highlands and valleys. Thus watered, the earth turned into fertile and picturesque landscapes with beautiful flowers, green fields, and fruit-bearing trees for providing food for men and animals. Allah also shaped the land in such a way that people could move from place to place. He made the sun, the moon, and the stars provide light during days and nights, and to act as direction indicators. When the merciful Allah made the earth perfectly suitable for living beings, He selected Adam from amongst all the creatures because Adam had superior mind and body. He made him the first human being and father of mankind. He allowed Adam to live in his paradise and gave him liberty to eat and drink whatever he desired, except one thing. Adam was forewarned of the consequences of disregarding the interdiction. He was told that consumption of the prohibited article would amount to insubordinate and disobedience and might extremely endanger his position and prestige. But Adam could not resist the temptation and did what he was prohibited from doing. His spirit was strong, but his flesh was weak. The merciful Allah knew beforehand what would happen. So when Adam repented, he sent him to this earth. This earth was a sign to him because Allah wanted that Adam's progeny and descendants may inhabit the earth, and through them his glory and mercy may be established and his power and grandeur may be acknowledged. After calling back Adam to paradise, he did not keep his descendants ignorant of evidences of his divinity and did not leave them in the dark about realizing his godhood and comprehending his benevolence and generosity. In every period of human civilization and in every country, he sent his prophets amongst human beings. They carried his messages, acting as media between Allah and man. This continued till through our holy prophet Muhammad, peace of Allah be upon him and his descendants, this process of teachings and educating human mind was brought to an end. Our prophet is the last prophet of Allah. He brought the divine teachings to its completion and warned the people of the consequences of forsaking Allah. The Almighty Allah apportioned livelihood and sustenance to each and every creature. Some are assigned more and some less. Therefore, there are some who are well-to-do while others are poor. This kind of distribution is based upon equity. The fact is that he has tested people in different ways. Some were tried through wealth while others through poverty. And it is to be seen whether wealth makes people grateful to Allah and persuades them to show their gratitude through their words and deeds. Poverty creates patience and endurance in man. And it is to be seen whether he is thankful to him even in unfavorable circumstances. Always mixed along with great riches and wealth, which are dangers of poverty and starvation. Lurking in the folds of peace and prosperity are monsters of calamities unknown and misfortunes unforeseen. And usually, sorrows and sufferings are found mingled with joys and comforts. In short, no happiness and blessing in this world is unaccompanied by miseries and griefs. One must remember this and must not give way either to vanity and arrogance or to despair and despondency. As is the condition with wealth, comfort and happiness, so it is with age. He has fixed different periods of life for different people. Some are given longer spans while others are assigned shorter duration of life. Some will always go ahead and others will follow. But life will always end in death.